So when you're writing a paper, who should be the authors? Well, presumably you're not going to work with 2,850 other people. And so in computer science, you usually put the authors in order of importance, but we don't mean your supervisor goes first. We mean in order of importance in terms of doing the research. So we generally say the person who did the most work is at the start, the person who did the least work is at the end. And often what we say is the person at the start is the person who did the research, and the person at the end is the supervisor. That's a general rule that works in computer science. So in all these cases, alpha is probably the PhD student and delta is probably the supervisor. And we're not quite sure what beta and gamma did, but they obviously had some involvement. And everybody should have contributed something. In some cases, I have contributed solely by writing the paper rather than doing the research. But that's a contribution. Doing the research, supervising it. Sometimes having the original idea gives you, if you had more input than just saying, here's a good idea, but actually put input in throughout the project, that would be good. Financing the project, if all your supervisor did is provide the money, but provided you no intellectual input at all, that actually means that really shouldn't be an author, but it would be very difficult for you to say that to them. And really importantly, everybody that you put in the author list should have a chance to comment on the paper. And I have had a paper with my name on it where they didn't show it to me before they submitted it. And it very embarrassingly didn't refer to the most important previous piece of work in the subject, which I'd written. So to have a paper with my name on it that doesn't actually acknowledge a paper I wrote that is known to be the most important previous piece of work in the field was really embarrassing. So there are actually people who will try to codify the rules. So the International Committee of Medical Journal Editors had so many problems with just enormous increase in the number of authors that they started to come up with some rules. So your author should have had a substantial contribution. They should have been able to draft and revise the article, and they should all have final approval of whether it goes in or not. So let's just give you some quick examples. This is a paper that I wrote with Ursula Augstdorfer and Malcolm Sabin. Ursula Augstdorfer did all the work, did the research. She wrote the paper. I was her advisor. I edited the paper. And yes, I was the one who raised the money. But I actually had intellectual input as well as raising the money. And Malcolm Sabin had the original idea. And he also advised Ursula Augstdorfer. And he edited the paper. So this is very clear. All three of us have a contribution, and the only thing that we had to argue about is it Dodgson and Sabin or Sabin and Dodgson at the end, who gets the important final position. And Malcolm's more famous, so he gets the final position. This is a paper from much earlier. It's on autostereoscopic camera systems. And this is interesting that I wrote it and I designed the system, so I did the research. But John Moore actually built the system and fixed everything I got wrong, but he didn't do anything in the writing. And Stuart Lang financed the project, commissioned the system, and he had intellectual input all the way through. So even though he was the financer, he still had intellectual input. So that was good. That works. Then here's another one, Dodgson, Moore, Lang, Martin, and Canepa. Why five people? Who are these people? Well, I wrote it, but I didn't actually do any research. I just wrote the paper because I was good at writing papers. John Moore did the research, did the design, did the building. He did all the work. And should it have been Moore and Dodgson, Dodgson and Moore? That's an interesting question. Stuart again, Stuart Lang, supervised the project, raised the money. Graham Martin helped to design the display. He actually had more intellectual input than I did to the design of the display. He helped John. And Peter Canepa was the big financier over in Los Angeles who actually raised the money to allow us to do this. So technically, he probably shouldn't have been an author, but there's politics now come into play. Each of the five of us worked for a different organization. All five organizations were working on this project. So unfortunately, we did have to slightly break those rules. And Peter's a nice guy, so we had no problems. But there are rules by this committee. And again, these are, for us, these are guidelines. If you're doing medical publishing, these are rules. But for us, these are guidelines. So just getting the funding does not give you the right to be an author. Collecting data, running programs does not. Being the general supervisor of the research group. So, for example, you all know that Andy Hopper is the head of department. Well, you wouldn't expect the head of department to have his name on every research paper that comes out of the department, and Andy certainly doesn't expect that. But in some departments, actually, the head of department does insist that his name goes on every paper, and he gets a massive list of papers. And unless the head of department is willing to read every paper that is produced by his department, that's just not on. But again, very hard to argue against. So if there are people who can't be authors but have helped enormously, then you put them in the acknowledgements. And I must say, I am always amazed by how much people are like seeing their name in print. So at the end of the paper, there's a little section between the conclusion and the references called acknowledgements, in which you say, thank you to Eileen Murray for typing the original manuscript. And Eileen was delighted to see her name in print. Thank you to this place for providing the source data. Thank you to this organization for raising the funding. People like seeing their names in print. But don't go overboard. Don't thank your family members, your wife, girlfriend, husband, boyfriend, partner, or pets, except in your PhD dissertation, where it's absolutely known that in order to get to a PhD, you basically had to make life miserable for everybody around you. And they deserve to be thanked.